Amen. Let's pray for these prayer that we're believing God for. We're believing God for. God says, believe and you shall receive. That's all he says. According to his will now. But that's all we do. We believe and we receive. Father, Lord, we come before you. And Lord God, you see these prayer requests that your people have written down, Lord God. Father, your word says whatever two shall agree upon the earth, that it shall be done according to your will. And Lord, we're asking for you to answer these prayers according to your will, Lord God. That you will bring it about, Lord God, this year, somehow, some way, Lord God, according to your will. Father, we ask this and we in your name, and we believe it in your name. The name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you beforehand that it is done. We praise you and we honor you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn to your books. Page 145, please. I'm not going to mention names, but somebody didn't bring their book. He put his head down, and I thought, oh, gosh. He blames his sisters. Amen. Page 145, and it says, and suddenly... I'm going to read the scripture first, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. It says this, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Amen. And then we're going to start reading. It says, life is full of suddenly moments. It's amazing how we can be traveling emotionally in one direction, and the very next second something occurs to totally change our emotional status. It's in those times of spiraling, temperamental, and unstable sentiment that true faith has the opportunity to become the great stabilizer. As topsy-turvy as life may be, it's still no match for faith that stands secure on the rock. Christ Jesus, Jesus promised us that when the wind comes, or when the rain falls, or when the fire attempts to burn, he would be there to bring us safely through. Even when my heart is experiencing a never-ending somersault of emotions, my soul can find refuge in the belief that Christ will take care of me. He has promised that he is not a man that he should lie. He is the Son of Man who loved me and gave himself for me on Calvary's cross. Therefore, I can remain confident in him when the vicissitudes, which means unavoidable, okay, when the unavoidable of life takes me by surprise, he remains unbothered, unhindered, and completely capable of meeting my need. Oh, the sweet peace that faith provides. Amen. God is there, people, no matter what's going on. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My Lord, my Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, stretch forth your hand towards me, if you don't mind, as I pray for myself. Father, Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for the calling on my life to preach and teach your word. And Father, Lord, I don't take it lightly. And Father, I pray today that you would help the preacher and the teacher come out today, Lord God, as your anointing would be upon my heart and upon my life. Take this word and stamp it upon my heart and the hearts of your people, and let it bring good fruit, Lord God, into our lives this day. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 9, please. Acts chapter 9. You know, the Apostle Paul was a very profound Christian. God changed, we know this, that God changed his name from Saul to Paul after his encounter with the Lord on that Damascus road. The light shone on him as he was riding that horse. It says a light, which was really Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Because he was gone to Damascus to do what he thought was the work of God. And that's another step. Many people think they're doing the work of God, but they're not. I'm telling you. It has not been ordained by God, blessed by God, or commissioned by God. That's why we got to know from here who to give to, who to give our money to, who to give our time to, because we don't want to waste our time and money. It's too precious. But here he was going to do what he thought was the work of God, but people were praying. And let me tell you, prayer changes your life and it changes the lives of others around about you. As we pray and intercede and ask God to move upon a situation. And as he was traveling, it says that light came, which was Jesus Christ, knocked him off of his horse. And the voice said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" That's a lesson for us to learn. Anytime someone persecutes you for God's sake, let's say, because of maybe your beliefs, maybe things what you stand for, who you are as a person, just as a Christian, when they persecute you and I, they're persecuting us, yes, but really they are persecuting the God that you serve. And it is God's responsibility to do what needs to be done to take care of it. You see, we got to realize that we're in the hands of God. And when something happens, God will take care of it. Maybe not the way that we think it should be done, but God will take care of it. He persecuted Christians, had them killed, brought them out of their homes, did all kinds of evil, but yet he thought he was doing the will of the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 5, and it says this, picking up the story. And it says, "And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' After the Lord said, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said," what did he say? "I am Jesus." Ooh, my Lord. Now it was being pinpointed. He is Jesus, whom you persecute. Let me just stop right here and I'm going to say this again. He didn't say, "I am Jesus, you know, the King of Kings," or any, and that would have been right. But he said, "I am Jesus whom you, Paul, or Saul, persecute." He didn't really go after Jesus. Jesus wasn't around at that time. He had gone. He was persecuting Christians. So when you feel persecuted, like I said earlier, don't take it so much personally, but they're persecuting the God in you. And the God in you will take care of it. And look, and he can do it however he wants to do it. Take care of it. Look at this. It says, "It is hard for you to kick against the pricks." And that he trembling and astonished said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into this city, and it shall be told you what you must do. Remember, he's blind. He has to be led by someone. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Verse 8, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. Let me tell you this. You knocked off a horse and you hear a voice, and then you get up, you're blind, and you're led by a person to Damascus, the place you were going to persecute now. You're laying in bed and you can't see for 3 days. Let me tell you, you're going to do some praying. See, honestly, look. Most of the time, we don't really get down to really praying till something bad happens. I'm talking about serious prayer. I'm like, you know, hey, God hears a simple prayer. Help. Like Peter. That's a simple, but he was in desperate need, huh? But God hears our prayers. But let me tell you, we need to get serious about the things of the Lord, saying, Lord, I want to be, I want to do, and I want to be what you want me to be. And letting God move in our hearts and lives like he wants to. And it says, verse 8, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they had led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. Now, and I know I just read that, but I'll read it again. He didn't know if he'd get his sight back, people. We see it, and we know. He didn't know. And you might say, well, maybe he deserved to be without sight for more than 3 days. Maybe so. But the mercy of God comes out here. The mercy of God. Thank God for his mercy. Because if it wasn't for the mercy of God, where would we be? God gave his mercy, you know, when we needed mercy. And that's every day. And there was verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision. The Lord came in a vision to Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah, the one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. Ooh, that's amazing, people. I just, it makes you want to shout. Yes, he's praying. Look, we always have hope as a Christian as we pray. We always have hope. Have you ever said, Lord, do you hear my prayers? We've probably all been there. But let me tell you this, he hears our prayers. His ears are attentive to the prayers of his people, and he hears them. Now, what he does after that, that's up to him. Up to him. He is the king and he is God, and it's up to him. But God says, believe, pray and believe, and it's up to God however he wants to answer it. My Lord, look at this, verse 12, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias. So here we see Paul, Saul is seen in, he said in a vision, God gave him a vision to Saul, and he's seeing coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now don't you think Paul was excited about that? As he prayed, the answer came, because he was praying for his sight. He was praying, Lord, help me. And in a vision, God gave Saul. Now he was a child of God because he called upon him and he said, Lord. He's a child of God. And so he says, Lord. And the Lord gives him a vision that a man will come, you know, called Ananias, and he will lay his hands upon you, and you shall receive your sight. He was excited now. Thank you, Lord. You're going to answer my prayer. Because can you imagine as you're there in that house, and for one day passes by and you're blind. The next day passes by and you're still blind. I've never been blind, but I know Mr. Hector has been. Talk to him. When you can't see much or nothing at all, everything's black. I don't know anybody else. Not good. Not good. Not good, he says. Can you imagine after 2 days here, Saul is laying in that bed doing whatever, and nothing. He's still blind. The third day comes around. God, in the first 2 days, had already talked to Ananias and said, I want you to do something. Ananias got scared because, you see, they heard here. Even God spoke to Ananias, and Ananias loved the Lord. It says when God spoke to him, he still got scared because he knew what Saul had done to the Christians. But God confirmed it again and said, go. And so God had already worked on Saul, and God was already working on Ananias to get things done. And it says in verse 13, and Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And there he has authority from the chief priest to bind up all who call on your name. But the Lord said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. God divinely selected Saul, now changed his name to Paul, to do mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. Look, and you might say, well, Paul must have been special. Look, we're all special in the eyes of God. And he selects, and he calls, and he works, and he does whatever needs to happen in our lives to get us to a place to do the call that he places upon us. I know many of you probably say, well, I can't preach, so what? You can talk one-on-one with somebody about the Lord. You can share in other ways about the Lord, whatever it is. Whatever, when God selects you, you fulfill what God selects you to do. And don't turn your back. You keep going forward and you let God work and you let God move. And you'll see God move in ways that you never thought were possible as your faith rises up in Him. Here we see Paul, called by God, divinely selected by God. You think when he was laying in that bed for 3 days or so, blind, that he would have thought, I'm going to write 14 books of the New Testament? And I'm including Hebrews because he wrote it. I know that people will kind of, well, some think, whatever. 14 books of the New Testament? That he thought, I'm going to do that? No. He was down and out and he was just praying, Lord, help me. You see, a lot of times we don't realize the future of what God has for us. He's concerned about today. He's concerned about our hearts. He's concerned about getting us ready to do the future things that He calls us to do. But He's preparing us and laying the foundation and the work in us to prepare us to accomplish what He wants us to do. See, some of the things that God has planned in the heavens for all of us probably, we cannot do it today. Because we may not be prepared to do it today. But I tell you what, God is the great rebuilder. God will prepare us and help us to accomplish those things that He has put in us to do. He will not let us down. He will move. He will work. He will do whatever it takes to get us. And that might mean changing attitudes, changing things in our lives, delivering us of things and helping us to overcome things in our hearts and helping us to overcome things in the mind. God says to think on things that are true, pure, holy, good, those things are what we should think about. Things that bring glory and honor to our God. Not all that other trash and junk, people. As a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinks, and that's talking about mankind, here is what will come here. God, even though Christ may live here, though, and Christ is abiding here, He wants to sometimes change how we think. Yeah. See, the Word of God was really written, I know, for the Jews and the Israelites, but I tell you, the Word of God was written to show us who God is and His precepts and His laws. He wants us to think like the Word. Because when we think like this Word, we're thinking like God. This is the written Word of God. And so we have to think like what He says. You might say, well, I messed up. So what? Welcome to the group. Repent and go on. We go from glory to glory to glory to glory. Repent, ask God to forgive you, get back on track and say, Lord, help me to accomplish what you have in store for me. Paul wrote, like I said, 14 books of the New Testament, 11 of them. 11 of the 14 start with praise, start with joy, and start with thanksgiving. Interesting fact, huh? Even though Paul was beaten with rods 3 times. Has anybody been beaten with a rod? Well, you might have said, man, when I was young, oh, Lord. Yeah, but I'm not talking about parents disciplining you. I'm talking about men that hated him because of Christ. A hatred beating, that's totally different. A love beating is totally different from a hatred. The outcomes are totally different. 3 times, can you imagine, beaten with rods? It says that he was shipwrecked 3 times. He spent a night and a day at drift in the sea. At one time, he spent 14 days on a boat adrift. At one time, can you imagine, he was stoned once. And he was lashed to death 5 times. My Lord, what a life he lived. But yet he pleased the Lord with his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, page 2032. This is the scripture in our books. Paul wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians. This is what Paul wrote under the unction and power of the Holy Ghost. Chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It says, blessed be God, my Lord, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. It says, is blessed be God, which is the equivalent to praise to God, which was an expression of thanksgiving. Blessed be God. Worship unto our God. Now, this is a man, what I just read, went through all this. That's just some of it that we know. That's not all of it. You know, that's just like if you and I would write a book, we'd write some things. Not all things about our lives. We write some things and some things we leave out, which is probably appropriate, you know. Some things we may not want to share, you know. Some things God may tell us to, whatever it is. So not everything was written down that Paul went through, but he went through a lot of horror for the gospel's sake. A lot of tribulation. Paul, showing Paul's entire confidence in God. Blessed be God. His entire confidence in God and what he can do. It says this, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says the Father of mercies. Now here, Paul is saying this. He is the Father of mercies. Meaning a merciful God. Thank God he's merciful unto us. Merciful. When you make a mistake, he's merciful. He says, come, come. Don't be like Adam and Eve and run. Something happens, run to God. He'll never say, get away from me. He won't say that. He'll say, come closer. Come. I know what you did, talking about God the Father. Let me take care of it. You repent, you ask God to forgive, and you go on. He's a merciful God. Psalms 136:1 talks about his mercy endures forever. Because of mercy, we are saved. Because of mercy, we are healed. Because of mercy, we have his love and kindness. But it also says this, and this is what I wanted to get to. He's the God of all comfort. You know, we go through many trials and tribulations in life, just like Paul did. Paul went through some horrible things. But he's the God of all comfort. He comforts his people. Comfort basically means, it says, to call near or to invite. To call near. He comforts. When we're going through something, let's say this is God, he calls us near. He says, come. He wants to comfort us. When you're hurt by something, he calls us and he says, come. And he wants to put his arms around us, speak to us something, tell us something, help us in our time of need. He wants to comfort. Anybody remember when you were a small child and you did something, not whatever, or just whatever was going on, and you'd crawl into maybe your parents' laps or your grandparents' lap, and they just hug you, and how secure you felt with that? Some of you say, well, I have no memory of that, and I understand, you know. But maybe you do. Or just a close friend of some kind, or some adult, whoever, you know, that just you came close to, that just showed you some kind of compassion and love and mercy. And how you felt so that you could be yourself, so secure in their arms, you know, that everything was going to be all right. You know, that it was going to be all right. No matter what was going on, everything was going to be all right from this day forward. That's the kind of God we have, people. That's far beyond that. That wants to comfort us. Don't ever think that you're going through the trials of life and tribulation of life by yourself. That's what the enemy wants you to think, that you're on an island by yourself. That is not truth. Not truth. That you have a whole bunch of people, especially God, with you, that is kind of just trying to comfort you and help you throughout all your problems, throughout all the trials and tribulations that we go through, that God is there to help us. You know, comfort. C-O-M-F-O-R-T. C-O-M, and it comes from calm, C-O-M-E, okay? So C-O-M says, means together. F-O-R-T means strength. Together strength, my Lord. That's what God brings. Together with us, he brings strength unto us. Bringing us together. We don't have to brave the storm of life alone. That he gives us the strength that we need, the comfort that we need to get through life. Whatever it is that's going on in our lives. We all know that God is in control, and whatever happens or comes our way as a child of God, that God will comfort us and he will be with us and he will help us. He gives us the strength we need to get to that next step, to get to that next path, to get to that through that next trial, because that's the kind of God we serve. Don't ever think you're alone. Don't ever think that nobody cares. That is not truth at all. There are people everywhere that care about you. For sure we know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit cares about us. They all comfort us. The God the Father comforts us. God the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And God the Son is the heavenly advocate that comforts his people. All three members of the Godhead serves as the source of comfort unto us. Comfort unto us. Who comforts us in our tribulations, or in all our tribulations? God does not deny the presence of tribulation. I'm tired to tell you, from the day you were born to the day you die, you're going to go through trials and tribulations. Don't think that just because you're Christian that nothing bad will happen to you. That is not truth. Not truth. Not truth. But God does guarantee comfort, and guarantees comfort and help in the midst of tribulation. Oh, my Lord. So God says he will be with us at all times. And when something happens and comes our way, no matter what it is, in our families, you know, upon the job, upon wherever, whatever's happening, God says he will be, it's a guarantee that he will comfort us. He will be with us. He will help us. Amen. You know what that means? You're not alone, and I'm not alone in going through whatever trial or tribulation comes our way, because of what the scripture says and because who God's character is. That we have the guarantee of a comforter, a helper in our time of need. And that's really all the time. There is no exception for sorrow, but there is no exemption in God's comfort. Wow, you should have shouted. He is the God of all comfort. Comfort of him is that the inner peace that's in us. You know, some people will, because we share maybe some whatever, that they know what people are going through at times. And those people look back and say, how can they make it? And we know the answer, you know, we know, but how can they make it? And they make it because of the inner peace that is in their lives, brought on by the Holy Spirit, commissioned by God the Father, and advocated by the Son to help us. Oh, you and I can get through any storm of life. God says there will be sorrow, there will be joy, there will be peace, and all maybe the stuff from the outside, but God gives that inner peace of knowing he's in control. Maybe through that trial and sorrow, your shout may not be as loud, but there's still a shout. Maybe your praise may not be as loud at times, but there's still praise on the inside. Because you know he's in control. My Lord. God's the one that is called alongside to help and bolster the soul and strengthen the foundation of our lives. In the midst of falling tears and broken hearts, we can say, I will magnify the Lord. God comforts us by his love. God comforts us by his word. And God comforts us by his presence. Because he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, hallelujah. Never. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Never. That's a guarantee from God that he will comfort you. It says he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He will not. Now, that doesn't mean the person can't say, I don't want you anymore. But God is saying, I will never leave my people and I will never forsake them. It's an amazing thing as I read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and I look at the Israelites and I want to just say, Lord, you should have left them a long time ago. I think the thing that throws me to the end is when they built the golden calf. And it's like you just want to say, God. As they saw the power of Almighty God walking on dry ground, the sea, God split that sea wide open. And they walked upon dry ground. And they get to the other side, and Miriam and all of them are singing and dancing unto the Lord with their tambourines. And they're praising God. Not long after that, they're complaining about what they're eating. And they want to go back to Egypt so they can eat their leeks and garlic. Have you ate much garlic by itself? Or leeks? Boy, the devil can paint a big, good picture, huh? To go back. Yeah. Don't ever go back, because it's not as good as he's portraying it. Don't ever go back. You might say, what do I do? You stay where you're at and you say, Lord, help them push forward. Don't go back to the former things of life. Don't go back, because they're not as good as what we're thinking. They forgot how rotten the garlic was and how rotten the leeks were. They forgot about that. But they still wanted to go back. And God in his mercy still would come and give them the bread, the heavenly bread. Can you imagine? I mean, look, you take fresh bread out of the oven. When can you stop eating it? You just eat and you eat. Jelaine makes fresh bread she got from her sister recipe. I told her one night, I want you to make bread, that's all. And I want to eat as much bread as I can eat with butter. I mean, just eat bread. Y'all remember in school how that bread looked, the white? It's like that. Oh, now you hungry, huh? It's not that old brown, hard bread. I mean, it's just golden brown on top. Oh, my God. And she puts butter on top, and I put butter in the middle. That's how good it is. So, you know, one day I want to eat just bread. Just eat bread, you know. You can put whatever you want on. Tasting the bread right now. Can you imagine? They had heavenly bread. How much better is that than what we have down here? My God. God came in and gave them the bread that they didn't even have to work for. They didn't have to knead. They didn't have to get the flour. They didn't have to do anything. Zero. Free. He's the manna of life to us. It's free. We just keep going to him. He's fresh every day. Giving out his spirit. Giving out his anointing. Giving out his power. We don't have to walk around with our heads held down. And I understand sometimes it hurts what we go through. But I tell you what. Keep your head up. Keep your head looking towards him. And let me tell you, God will give you a vision where there's no vision. God will give you hope where there's no hope. God will give you what you need in life. Amen. He's the bread. And then he gave them meat. He gave them so much meat, it says they were throwing it up. And it was coming out of their nose. He got mad. Because they were complaining. Don't complain. And I know that's a hard thing for us as humanity, huh? Y'all don't have to look up. Just keep looking down. That's good. Because I'm going to look down too. You know, don't complain about anything. We have it so good, people. we have it so good. God is the God that comforts, and he was trying to comfort them and help them. I tell you what, and he's still working and doing. And we just look, God comforts us. He's the great comforter. Whatever trial, tribulation you're going through, whatever's happening in your life today, God's going to comfort you. You're going to see God in a way that you never saw him before. He might become your great provider. He might be the one that can meet all your needs. He's the one that can give you the job that you need, or give you the friend that you need, or whatever it may be. God can do those things. What you do is you keep on knocking on that door, and you keep on praising him and honoring him. Blessed be our God. How do you think Paul felt as they were beating him for the third time with rods? Was it South Korea? North Korea. When that guy that he went and they beat him and he came back, all his teeth were pulled. They beat him. So, I mean, he only lived a few days or so after Trump finally caught him back. That was, I think, in his first term. He had put a poster. That's what it was. He put a poster up and he wasn't supposed to, or took it down. He took it down. There was a poster that was up on the wall. North Korea. Little rocket man. And he pulled it down. And they caught him. And they put him in jail, and they did all kinds. He stayed in there probably years, huh? And they finally got him back, and he was just out of it. Beaten with rods. That's what I think of when, you know, visual type stuff. This man, Paul, went through. People, we got to stand strong no matter what. Though people out there in the world need to see a God that we serve, that no matter what we go through, no matter what happens in our lives, we're standing strong. That doesn't mean we don't deny what's going on. That's totally different. But we trust a God that will take care of it all. And if we die here before our time, God, heaven's our home. Doesn't matter. Heaven's our home. Thank you, Lord. He comforts his people. Tribulation means burdened, anguish, affliction, persecution, or trouble. I'm sure everyone has many burdens upon their hearts about things, huh? I know that. I'm sure there's anguish sometimes in our lives. We go from glory to glory. Affliction by other people or Satan himself, as God allows. Persecution or trouble. Tribulation. God says that we would go, verse 4, it says, who comforts us in all our tribulation. He comforts us. He's with us, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. We look at, you know, many people in the Bible, like Paul, that went through horrible things. We look at Joseph, that was sold as a slave, yet he became second in command in Egypt. My Lord. We look at Jeremiah, which they call the weeping prophet, because he cried over Israel so much that even as he cried and tried to tell them don't go in the wicked ways of the world, they still would go that way. He cried and cried and went to the Lord and said, Lord, and they would not change their hearts. My Lord. A lot of suffering to be endured by the righteous before the completion of the redemptive purpose of God. Tribulation makes us into the likeness of Christ, people. That doesn't mean we look for trouble. I'm not saying that. But when things come our way, it makes us zone in on him and saying, Lord, what's in me? And you know, a lot of times that's what God wants us to see, things in us that need to change. So in a way, tribulation's not bad for us. We don't like it, but it makes us more like Christ. So is that a good thing? Yes. That doesn't mean we go look for trouble. You know, that's like the man in the bar, you know. He was always in a fight because he looked for trouble. Always in a fight, you know. Always in a fight because he was looking for trouble. We don't look for trouble, but if trouble comes our way, we know who we trust. We know who we will trust. Tribulations and trials will come our way to the day we die or Jesus comes back for us through the rapture of the church. It will happen. But I tell you, this is the thing. We deal with it differently, though. When it comes, we run to him first and we give it to him and say, Lord, what do you want to do? We ask you for your mercy, your grace, and your help. And you will comfort me and you will show me things about myself. And you will help me to solve this situation, however you want to do it. That's the kind of God we serve. That will help us through all trials and tribulations of this world, getting the work done. Paul didn't think he'd go through all that stuff, huh? That he went through. I wonder, just thinking, if Paul would have knew the list of things on that road to Damascus, if he would have changed his mind. I don't think so. Because when you have an encounter with God, you have an encounter with God. And you see, God was with that man to accomplish and go through all that. Just like he will be with us as we go through anything and everything we have to go through. Tribulation makes us like into the likeness of Christ. Tribulation also helps us to help other people. We know what to do. Have you been comforted at your times in your life? It is our obligation, you and I, then to comfort others. If you have been comforted by other people in your life, it is your obligation, like my obligation, to comfort others. We're not to keep it just for ourselves. See, God wants to show others, look what I've done in her or him. We're to give out how he comforted us to others. And that's not easy sometimes. Because it makes us a little vulnerable at times, huh? I'm not saying cast your pearls before the swine every time. You let God lead you, though. And then you put your pearls before them. That means the things God has shown you, the pearls of life. And you help them. And you let God comfort you the way he has. You comfort others. One last thing. Has God come alongside to help you in an hour of calamity? It is required of you then to be a companion to another in the hour of calamity of any kind. What we can do, we do. How we can help, we help. Because God is so gracious to us. Don't ever hold on to something that God has done for you. And you see somebody next to you that is going through what you went through and you not help them. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because God allowed you to go through whatever you go through. And sometimes it's because we made bad decisions, huh? And did some things, whatever. Sin, let's just say it. Whatever we go through, God will send other people so we can turn and say, look, let me tell you what God did. Let me show you. Don't be afraid to speak up for the Lord. As he comforts you, comfort others. Because tribulations and trials, things will happen, people, in life. Because of the world we live in and the sin nature that we have in this world, it will not be changed till he finally comes back the second time. And he changes. And he makes earth the headquarters. His headquarters. My Lord. When the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem comes down, can you imagine? We'll be there to see it. When that city comes down from the heavens. Man. I know we'll have our heavenly bodies on. We won't have this fleshly thing, but I mean, it's like, oh my God. Down upon the earth. And we're with him forever and ever. To the end, there's no end. So it's whatever. Just with him, my Lord. What a God we serve, people. There's hope for the Christian. We have hope in our God. Amen.